Navigating through the energies of New Earth is not an easy process and can become extremely overwhelming at times. As we all ascend into higher frequencies, we're all being guided to embrace our own unique divine pathway, a pathway created in the vibration of love. Join Vibe Nation radio host, international psychic medium Carrie Turcotte, as she guides her listeners to rediscover themselves by accessing the keys of knowledge that already exist within. Each week's show is divinely orchestrated to intertwine with the universal energies, allowing the listeners to go deeper within and understand the message being shared even greater. When you live in the frequency of love, there is no competition, so Carrie will be joined regularly by fellow soul family members who will bring forth wisdom and knowledge she knows should be shared on a global level. At the end of each show, Carrie will tap into the energies of the listeners to see what message Spirit wants to share with all those listening in for the upcoming week. If you really want to get to know who you truly are, come and join us now on Vibe Nation Radio, here on the IOM Radio Network.
And that was the Vibe Nation introduction, and it's Indian Summer with myself, Chris Anderson, One Feather, doing the summer gig here and celebrating Native America as, you know, all the different events that are occurring bring out the tribal side, I think, in all of us. And today I have a very special guest who is actually lives about 15 miles or less from me, and has undoubtedly been paying attention to the process of the sun and the moon and its dance across the sky. How are you doing, Maureen?
Hi.
Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, there you
okay.
go. Yeah, I can hear you now. So Maureen Muldoon, a friend of mine who is into A Course in Miracles and at the same time observing the physical phenomena in this world. So did you feel any kind of a specialness about this last couple of hours, this passage of time?
Well, yeah, actually I was here with my daughter and we had our crystals outside and we had our glasses on and we had our sense of humor intact and we took some time to turn within. And I think that for, as A Course in Miracles teacher and student, that, you know, every day, everything is there, you know, it's a symbolic for us. So we get to go beneath the symbols and just say, is this an opportunity for love or, you know, fear, peace or war, lightness or darkness? And what's happening or what happened in the sky is just a beautiful symbol of that. You know, that even when the moon blocks out the sun continues to shine. And even when fear blocks out love, you know, it doesn't have an impact on love. Love continues to shine. So in regards to feeling, it did get cooler here. And all of my pets and animals sort of settled down. And I thought it was a very sweet moment of peace, actually. Something that I shared about on my own media groups is that despite how we look at this, whether we look at it through a scientific lens or a poetic lens or a romantic lens or a spiritual lens, that we're taking a moment together, a unifying moment as a larger community. And I'm hearing a lot of static on the line, so I hope this is still working.
Yes,
but that it's a unifying moment. Yeah, it's a unifying moment. And what I was mentioning is that a lot of times we get unified over tragedies. And this is an opportunity for us to get unified over something, whether you view it scientifically, romantically, you know, religiously, spiritually, that we're unified over something kind of sacred instead of something traumatic.
Yes, absolutely. And the thing that, you know, when these occurrences occurred back in time, people were not as well up to speed on expectation. And so most of the ancient cultures, when a eclipse would occur, of course, the people would get out and make a bunch of noise and bang on drums and do petitions to the gods and that sort of thing, thinking that they had arrived at some kind of an apocalypse, that, you know, the whole thing was summoning the end of life as they knew it. So now with all of our information, with all of the abilities that we have to project, you know, the movement of the planets and the movement of these different phenomena, I think it's exciting and very, I don't know, like you said, very uplifting, rather than seeing it as something ominous and something to be, you know, perceived as being the beginning of the end of some sort.
Right.
So,
right. It felt like there was an actual clearing away of, you know, I don't know why, but it felt like there was an actual clearing around it. And when I think about it in more through a more poetic lens, you know, when we think about Father Sun and Father Moon, and that the feminine divine is crossing over the masculine, and for a moment, you know, the show every day of the sun rising and setting. For a moment, the moon captured our attention in the midst of it, and there's something very poetic and beautiful about that, and I think that's the wonderful thing about it, and the wonderful thing about looking at things as symbols and looking at things through a poetic lens, is that we don't have to come to a finite agreement on what it means. You know, we can just simply contemplate it and savor it and experience it without having to sum it up. Scientifically, we want to sum it up, and in other ways, we might want to sum it up. But as human creatures, we're still those same people banging on drums, really not knowing what anything is for.
Very true. Yeah, it gives us the ability to experience life without having a judgment about it. And of course, that is the foundation for A Course in Miracles, is that the more we put a judgment on something, the more we experience the negative aspects of that specific thing. So, but one of my favorite movies is Little Shop of Horrors, and the Little Shop of Horrors, the catalyst for the arrival of Audrey, the plant, the man-eating plant, is the solar eclipse phenomenon. And I know that you're into theater and dance and everything else. And I'm just curious as to whether or not, you know, this may be a little bit of an inspiration to put together a production of The Little Shop of Horrors.
Well, if I were to put together section of The Little Shop of Horrors, I would have to cast my youngest son, because he's in love with that musical. And he actually had an opportunity to audition for it, and he didn't get the role. And you know, it's kind of interesting that he's come into the conversation. My youngest son is transgender, so he moved from masculine to the feminine to the masculine. And, you know, what I think about when I think about the solar eclipse, when I think about, you know, these catalytic times, these catalytic changes, I think I'm not so much about putting on a production, which would always be fun because I do have that, you know, theater background, but more of how do we approach change? You know, like, there's so many changes going on in our community, in our world, in our bodies, in our beings. In our circles, in our social experiences, in the way we identify, the way that our world is identifying itself. There's so many shifts and changes. And do we approach it with joyful expectancy, or do we approach it with fear and dread, like you're saying, maybe our ancestors did, and maybe there is an idea of evolution happening, of spiritual evolution happening, where science is helping us to see that this isn't the end of the world. This is just a blip in the ongoing cosmic story of our culture, of our humanness, and that's kind of exciting to recognize both how small we are in regards to everything, and how mysterious everything is, and then to cultivate in the mystery of everything a sense of peace.
Yes, to arrive back at that place where we arrive back at that place where we recognize that we are surrounded and supported by the divine, and so there really is nothing that that is actually fearful. It's all just part of this ongoing unfolding, and that's the beauty of being a student of A Course in Miracles. Is it does reaffirm our capacity to feel secure in the world that we inhabit, because we know that none of this really has power over us as long as we are, identifying with the presence of God within us. So back to your son, is he a theatrical soul? Does he really have true drive?
Yes, he does. And he's been in lots of different productions and plays. And, when he first came out as transgender, and he's only 14, and this was just about a year and a half ago, he was in a theater company, and he said, I really don't want to do any more female parts. And I said to him, like, this is just a role, but as people transition from young to old, from employed to unemployed, from this to that, when they start to make, when they tell you who they are and what they need, I found that we just have to trust them. Can we just listen to our brother, trust what our brother needs, our son, our daughters, and not try and, overlay our own scripts upon it. And so as much as I wanted to convince him, like, it's just a part, and as Course in Miracles students, we're, trained and we're reminded not to take anything seriously. Like, it's just a play. It's all just a play. As much as I wanted to, impose that idea upon him, he really had to get to it himself. That this is all a masquerade. This is all spirit's masquerade.
Right. And we'll swing into a brief break here and be right back with Maureen Muldoon.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the Om Times Experts program. With Om Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Aloha, my name is Jennifer O'Neill, and I'd like to invite you to come join me every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Hawaii Standard Time for my show, Spirit Chat. Spirit Chat focuses on simplifying the process of using the spiritual tools and gifts you were born with in a way that fits into your everyday life. I also teach different techniques that will help you learn how to navigate the spirit realm and empower you on your own spiritual journey. So join me this Wednesday as I guide you through the spirit world.
How to be a great dad in 15 seconds. Bike ride, go fish, walk in the park, phone call, milkshake, play catch, picnic, fly a kite, tell jokes, laugh, talk, read a story, tell a story, bumper car, swing set, bowling, pillow fight, cut loose, stay tight. Whew. Because the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
And we are back with Maureen Muldoon, and we were having a discussion about her son, who is at the age of 14, kind of like the eclipse right now. There is that merging, that union of the masculine and feminine, and currently he is identifying more on the feminine side, but nonetheless, we are all so far beyond just, one polarity or the other, that in truth all of us are a reflection of the divine masculine and feminine. So, Maureen, now you've got other kids, too. What does the whole family think about your son's adventures in identity shifting?
Everyone's totally fine with it. They, you know, they're totally supportive and compassionate. I think it was the hardest for me, and when I say the hardest, is that I think that I had a process that I went through that seemed like everyone else shifted. And for me, I had a little bit of a mourning process. I was in two sons, and now I had three sons and one daughter, but I still had to kind of mourn that the idea of my other daughter, you know, before she was divine, he was Rosemary. And so I like to not to bypass, not to have a spiritual bypass, you know, have your feelings and experience them and let yourself experience the emotions, the feelings, the fears, the worries and concerns that come up, just like you would experience, you know, to use the symbols at hand, you would experience the moon passing the sun. It's just passing by, you know, this too shall change, this too shall pass. And again, he's 14 years old, so this is what it is today. And we're at peace with that. You know, all of my children have been excellent teachers for me. My oldest son, like myself, had addictions that we went through together. And the personal addictions are going through personal addictions and healing that is very different than having a son or daughter who's experiencing addictions. And that was a special place of hell. And then my younger son is on the autism spectrum, and then my youngest now son is transgender. So the great thing is that I, as you know, I counsel a lot of people, and I think my children have been my my master class in life, you know, in relationships and how to navigate things. So I like to teach a lot as well about storytelling, and the holy version of storytelling is when, you know, we go on a hero's journey, and the first thing that happens on the hero's journey is a denial of the invitation, you know, because the invitation looks like we'll die, you know. So when your son comes out as transgender, when you realize your son is completely addicted to drugs, the first thing that you're going to think is, this will kill me, so this is a death. And so if you sit there, you end up in the story of the crucifixion, the victim story. But if you're brave enough to move forward and to, you know, dress your faith and spiritual practices and principles and say, you know, this is for me and not against me, you will be able to dig down into the experience and bring up the elixir. And the final part, I'm skipping for the whole part of the hero's journey, but the final part of the hero's journey is when the hero returns to the community with the elixir. And you can't return to the community and be of service to the community with the elixir unless you actually, figured it out. You see it in the story of, it's in every story, the hero's journey, but you see it like in Wizard of Oz, when Dorothy finally realizes that she had the power all along. So when she's looking for her home and going out there and thinking this thing will kill her, and actually it returns her to herself. So the same has been true for my children and for myself. They've been my best spiritual teachers, and I'm grateful for every classroom. It's made my life really interesting and very complex, and I don't think I would have it any other way.
That's very good. And at what age did you really start observing the kind of a role reversal going on, where you were being cultivated and refined as a result of being a parent? Was it with the first child at the first year of that child's age?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely, definitely. In fact, it was, you know, prior to my even giving birth to Owen, because I wasn't married and I wasn't prepared and I didn't feel confident, you know, to be a mom. And so immediately this invitation brought up all of those places that I felt unworthy. And it was great. You know, it's really great. I mean, I say it's great. It sounds crazy, but this is what we're here for. We're here to shed all of those illusions of lack of limitation, of low self-esteem. We're here to, you know, really polish those things away because they're simply not the truth. And so, yeah, my classrooms with my children started very early. I mean, immediately, where I got to see the shadow the shadow was taking over the steering wheel as opposed to my lightness of being.
Right. And then, you know, at a later point, your life partner comes along and starts to have an influence on, you know, people around you and, of course, your children. So what did you observe going on with the addition of somebody as a committed male in your life?
Actually, Will and I, my husband, we had my other three children together. And what was very interesting was that when we first met, Owen was four. And we started dating. We were married within a year. But my husband, Will, had gone through cancer, and he was sterile due to chemotherapy. But his doctor told him that he would be sterile. And his doctor told him, you know, to go to the sperm bank prior to having the chemotherapy. And so he had these, you know, to sperm at the sperm bank. And so anyway, I wasn't really sure that I wanted to have any more children anyway. He really wanted to have children, but I was like, I wasn't really sure, you know, that my son was four. I felt like I'd gotten through the baby years. And we ended up eloping in Catalina. And as I said, Will was completely sterile. And we ended up eloping in September, and by December, I was, like, puking all over everything. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I have the horrible virus. And my sisters were like, maybe you're pregnant. And I'm like, no, I can't be pregnant. My, you know, my husband's sterile. So he goes to the sperm bank, and they, you know, and they tell him, well, you have one sperm, one sperm. Every once in a while, we can see it. We can isolate it and inject it into your wife's egg. And this has been a successful process. And he said, well, my wife's pregnant. And they just started laughing. They go, well, you have great swimmers. This is very intimate stuff I'm sharing with you right now. But anyhow, my life's an open book. So so he was laughing, and I was like, oh, my gosh. I, you know, again, I don't know if I'm ready or worthy or, you know. So the children came. You know, they just came. After that, I went on the pill, and I got pregnant on the pill. And after that, I went to get the diaphragm, but I was already pregnant. So I had these children that were just like knocking down the door to get into this experience with me. And it turns out my, you know, husband, he was so grateful to find out that he wasn't sterile, because it was a really great sign that his health was returning. But it was God throwing me a surprise party again and again and again. And you know what? It's really helped me, because God is constantly throwing a surprise party. Like, we think that we can plan and navigate and negotiate and, you know, massage our lives into the desired form. And it's just not the truth, you know. It would really benefit us if we kind of, like, allowed ourselves to rejoice in what is happening. And so, again, a million other lessons came with my journey in parenthood.
Now, that's beautiful, and definitely proof that there are forces and influences that are at work in our lives that are completely apart from this whole idea of the ego's identity, of this little self that imagines itself to be in control of the forces of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
So as a result of, as a result of that, as you're moving forward in life, there were other transformations too. I know that you were living as an actress and doing a lot of theatrical things yourself, and all of a sudden that kind of went through a cycle of eclipse also. You want to give us some input about that?
Well, I had I was working in Los Angeles with my husband. We were both actors. We were working steadily as actors, not doing anything else, for 20 years. And we were both I think we were both getting ready for a shift or a change, but we didn't know what that was or what it would be. But I think we both felt it, because I had been invited out to Chicago to do a production of a play that I had written. And when I came here, I just got this clear and visual experience that I was supposed to move here. And I called him and I said, I think we're supposed to sell the house and move to Chicago. And there was a moment of quiet on the phone. And then he said, okay, let's do it. And I was like, what? I was like, you know how you shoot down all of my plans? Like, that's the roles we play for each other. Like, don't abandon me now. Don't let me go through with this crazy idea. And he's like, no, I think it'd be a great idea. And so we just kept taking the next right step. As you know, as I know it's the right thing to do, is just take the next right step. And that does not mean that we're not going to hit dark hours, because the first year here, I didn't know anyone. Nobody knew me. I came from a life where it was my business to be known. You know, being an actor, you're on 24/7. You're actively looking for the light, for visibility, for the next job. And you're just, you know, groomed that way. And that's just the natural mode of the beast. And so when I came here and I decided to leave acting and I was moving more into being just a spiritual practitioner, I had thought, all of my friends said, you're so brave to just jump ship. And I was like, no, it'll be easy. And it wasn't easy, but it was also perfect. It was not what I would have asked for, but it was definitely what I needed. And it was like one of those ego-crushing times. And it's not fun, but I see that what came from it is that, you know, I do have a real appreciation for tribes, as you mentioned early on in the conversation. I was raised in I was born into a family of 8 kids, and I like that mentality of big families sitting around tables. I like community. I run community. So I got to see that that was really important to me.
Very cool, and we'll be right back after this commercial break with more with Maureen Muldoon.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Eros Evolution is where sexuality and spirituality meets. Join me, clinical sexologist Martha Tara Lee, on Eros Evolution on Thursdays, 4 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio.
When Dad needed help getting around, I became his driver. Soon enough, it was up to me to be his housekeeper and financial manager, too. When he moved in, I became his cook and even his nurse. But no matter what roles I play, I know I'm still his daughter.
We understand the roles you play. So to help, we created aarp.org/caregiving, where you can connect with experts and other caregivers. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
And we are back with Maureen Muldoon and chatting about the eclipse and families and all the different components that make up life in a material world. So growing up in a large family like that, were you anchored with some kind of a spiritual practice when you were growing up? Were you Catholic or some other religious direction there, or was it just a bunch of people hanging out enjoying life?
No, we were, I would say, radically Catholic. You know, we lived a block from the Catholic Church. My mother went to church, you know, almost every day. We said the rosary almost every night. We didn't miss a Sunday or a special, you know, prayer day. So we went to the Catholic school. We were fully immersed in the Catholic, community and upbringing. And it's funny because my father, you know, was Irish Catholic, and And you really wanted us to marry Irish Catholics, you know? And I was sharing this story the other day. My brothers and sisters, you know, he preferred, you know, of course, Miracle says, you know, it's okay to have your preferences, but don't lose your mind if your preferences aren't available. So he would prefer that we had, you know, married Irish Catholics, but my sisters and brothers and I ended up marrying Jewish men and Kurdish men and Episcopalians, like I did, a German Episcopalian, and my brothers married, Italian, and my one sister-in-law, half Black, half Guyanese. So what my father got was more of a UN experience around his dining room table, but what I also know is that my father didn't, just like me, didn't get what we would have preferred, but God delivered something even better, you know, because we got to experience diversity at our table and learn about other theologies and philosophies. And, you know, my mom was a great debater. She loved to debate. She was a staunch Catholic, but she loved to debate. And if you're sitting at our table and you were, you know, one of us kids, we wouldn't debate with our mom. You know, we believed everything she said. You know, she was like our God. So she would have to go find people to debate with, and usually my dad's friends or anybody else she could drag in. Our dining room table would be packed with people. So I think I got my love affair for community from my mother, starting at that dining room table, just like, you know, no empty seats and nobody's left out and let's have a talk about it. And that's kind of how I run Speakeasy, funny enough, which is a spiritual community that I founded out here in Hinsdale. It's kind of an unusual thing to have a community that is really, you know, committed to not, it doesn't just say we welcome all, but like we're committed to hearing everyone, having everyone have a voice, having it be a great mix up of thoughts and philosophies and theologies. And just the other day we had a young man come and talk. His name is Jarrell, and he's such a beautiful being, and he has autism, and he's been a student of mine ever since he was a little kid. Now he's 16. And he was, you know, he came to tell us and show us how he communes with the world through dancing. And so it's just so beautiful to let go of the old limited ideas, but communication can be, what community can look like, family can look like, what tribe can look like, and to really step to the cusp of the mystery and be open-minded, and open-minded enough to be able to embrace or at least entertain other ways of being and seeing. And I'm, you know, obviously jazzed about all that.
Well, yes, and you're definitely a very vital part of the course community here in the Chicago region, because you're also pulling people up on stage with you and asking them to share the dance and to share their lives and to be able to participate on a broader and deeper level. And that leads us back to the idea of A Course in Miracles. Give us maybe an overview of how you collided with the Course, because I know that you had some kind of fun experiences on your journey to discovering A Course in Miracles.
Well, my first interaction with it was when I went to Medjugorje as a younger person. I was like 21 or 22. And we went up to see the Blessed Mother give directions through these children that were seeing visions of her in Medjugorje, Yugoslavia. And the way I came about being able to go there was just through like a crazy fluke, you know, just through the grace of God, that I ended up on this mountaintop. And I had come through this Catholic background where I was mostly taught not to ask questions. I know I was taught lots of lovely things, but one of the major teachings that I took away was don't ask questions. So when we got to the top of the mountaintop and these children gave us the first the reading of that first day that we were there, and they were saying the Blessed Mother is weeping and crying because we're being so disposable with our children. And this was 27 years ago. Gosh, I can't believe it was that long ago. And so she was saying she was weeping, and it made me feel very depressed. And so I found myself wanting to ask a question, but I felt like I shouldn't ask the question because I felt like I was not a good question asker because most of the questions that I asked in the Catholic Church would be responded to with the answer of, don't be so bold, don't ask that question. Anyway, I raised my hand and they called on me and I stood up and I said, you know, you talk about the Blessed Mother weeping. Does she ever laugh? And if so, what makes her happy? And I remember the young man leaning back on his heels and looking at me, and I don't remember the exact answer, but I looked down at this woman kneeling next to me, and there's like, it felt like 100 people on the hill. They were all saying the rosary in different languages. It was such a beautiful experience. But this older woman looked up at me from her kneeling position, and she looked like a nun. She had these crazy eyebrows, and she had these gnarly old hands. She looked like she was about 150 years old. And she looked at me, and she said, honey, that was a good question. And that was a healing for me. And the next day, a man in the audience said, does the Blessed Mother recommend any books? And she said that my son is writing these books with two doctors in New York City. And at the time, I lived in New York. So I thought, oh, my gosh, I'm going to go find these doctors, and I'm going to figure out what they're writing. And she said, I don't remember all of the things that she said, but I remember that she said Song of Prayer. So I just tucked that away in my little pea brain because I didn't have a beeper or, you know, pager or phone or anything at that time. It was like early on before technology. And I said, Song of Prayer. I got to remember Song of Prayer. So anyway, I didn't go right home and find that book. Other things happened, namely getting pregnant, like we talked about earlier. And so my life took sort of a little twist there. But by the time I did stumble A Course in Miracles, I started teaching it right away because, again, I love community, and I didn't want to study it on my own. And I knew I didn't know what it was about, but I was too dumb to know that I wasn't able to teach it. So it was just like one of my friends, you know, anyway, the first week that I started teaching it out of my home, a student came to my door. People were just invited to join me because I was doing other groups, like 12-step and writing groups. And one of the students handed me the pamphlet of A Song of Prayer. And she said, if you want to know about A Course in Miracles, you should know about this pamphlet. And she handed it to me. And so synchronicities like that have followed me on my journey with A Course in Miracles. I think I was definitely guided to teach this, to study this, to embrace this, and to be an ambassador for this theology or this philosophy or whatever one chooses to call it, this reversal of thought system. And it has been, since day one, a bit of a love affair for me.
Yeah, that is the way the Course works, is that it does bring a different understanding of love into your life. And you realize that you have always felt love and been surrounded by love, but you just hadn't been able to identify it previous to, you know, spending time with the Course and going through this process of self-discovery. So from that juncture in your life, you went wildly forward, going through all these different experiences of becoming a mother and becoming a parent, mm-hmm. and moving upward socially, interacting in Hollywood and being able to make those connections. Did you ever feel satiated? Because, you know, a lot of us are always hungry. We're always trying to mm-hmm. feed some kind mm-hmm. of a need. But were you finding any kind of a satiation before you actually immersed yourself in the Course?
No, actually. What happened was, like, I was satiated by the Catholic philosophy, and I understood it to the point where I was no longer being fed by it. It was just like, I got it. Then I moved into 12-step, and I learned all about the 12-steps and the spiritual practices of that. And I learned that, and I worked it with other people, and I'm like, okay, I got it. And then I was still hungry. I went to the Baha'is, and I learned about the Baha'is. And then I'm still hungry, so I went to Science of Mind, and I learned about Science of Mind and the Law of Attraction, and I studied that until I became a spiritual practitioner. And I didn't mean to become a spiritual practitioner. I just kept taking the next class. And finally, my minister was like, you know, the only class left is practitioner. You know, are you going to do that? And I'm like, gosh, I guess so. Sort of like the Forrest Gump of spiritual beings, I guess, you know, just doing the next right thing. And then Science of Mind also became for me, like, I got it. And I don't mean to sound egotistical. I just, when you asked me the question about being satiated, yeah, I was filled up by that, and I still wanted more. Like, and so I got satiated, but then I grew, you know. And there's a symbolic story of the lobster who like grows into his shell, and then when he can't grow anymore, he actually has to shed his shell. And then he's all vulnerable, and he tucks himself underneath a rock until he grows a new shell. This is how he expands. And this is, for me, how we expand in consciousness as well. So we can reach points of satiation, but then because we are ever-evolving creatures, and there's a limitless nature to God, it's not going to stay there for too long. We're always going to feel an invitation forward to a deeper knowing and a more expanded idea of love.
Yes, that I've discovered myself. And along the journey, of course, we are in contact constantly with an ever-enlarged field of people that Spirit directs us toward. And as a result of this, a lot of us, I think in the Course community especially, feel that excitement that comes from being able to share a Course in Miracles. So what is your plans, I guess you could say, right now for this next step of really broadening your influence, broadening the impact of your teaching of A Course in Miracles?
What are my plans, Chris? A healed mind doesn't plan.
That's right.
I don't really, you know, the president of my church, she is a Course student with me, and she studies other things. And she said to me, Maureen, be aware of self-directed plans, you know? And so I really try and live and lean into that place. So, for instance, tomorrow I'm doing a peace vigil in Hinsdale, but I didn't plan that. Somebody just asked me to show up to it. And that feels right, you know, so I can show up and help with it, but I'm not here to direct it. I'm really here to just take the next step with God.
Great, and we'll have a brief interruption here with commercial messages and move forward.
Bringing you the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio, your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network.
Tune in to the Practical Intuitive Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Hello, I'm John Lithgow. Manatees are unique, among the most amazing animals on Earth, but they're endangered. We pose the greatest threat to their survival. Many manatees are killed or injured by boats or other recreational activities. I'm a writer of children's books, including one about manatees, and I believe education is the key. You can be part of the solution. Please contact Save the Manatee Club right now. Call 1-800-432-JOIN. Thank you.
And I am back with Maureen Muldoon, and we are chatting about eclipses and families and all sorts of interesting things. But the anchor in all of this is that connectivity to God. And I had asked Maureen about having plans, and of course with myself, my plan is just to live in God and let it happen. But going from an Irish ancestry, where there is a lot of anticipation or expectation of things not working out well. You know, the effect of potato famines and everything else that has influenced the culture. Do you find that the Irish are, by and large, somewhat serendipitous and trusting and just willing to let go and jump into the pond? Or did you have a sense of apprehension as you were growing up? Was there an underlying background feeling of what's going to happen next?
Well, I don't know if it's from my Irish heritage or from my Catholic heritage, which was just like a sincere faith in God, you know, that I've always had a very intimate relationship with my divine. And so I think that and I've always been led to cultivate that. And so I think that it's more about that. I don't think it has to do with heritage, really. I think it just has to do with the fact that all of us are divine beings. We, some of us get more tangled than others. And I'm sure, you know, I've had hours where I've been super tangled. But untangling those experiences has been very fruitful for my ability to be helpful in the world. So, I think that there's no sincere one answer to that. There's times that I've been tangled and felt like, oh my gosh, when is the other shoe going to drop? And there's been times, where I felt like everything's unrolling in perfect accordance with God's will and I have nothing to fear, only greater good to be revealed. I think it was around my 20s that maybe after having my children after having my first child, that I really committed to that everything is for me and that I can, there's a blessing in everything. I don't know where that came from, but I know that there was a time where I just decided that that was going to be the truth. You know, when you asked earlier about my plans, what I could tell you that's on the calendar coming up for what I do in my communities is that we have, you know, voice box storytelling and songs over at Fitzgerald's, which is a great place to come to get your soul fed. And then we have Speakeasy, which is our spiritual community that meets on Sunday mornings, speakeasyspiritualcommunity.com. And we're just getting ready for actually a big move. We grew out of the chapel that we're in, and we're moving to a new location in October. And we're getting ready for a fundraising campaign called Fall in Love at Speakeasy, where we're going to have dinner parties, and I'm going to be hosting a ball called Villain, Vixen, Heroes, where you can show up as your favorite villain, vixen, or hero. And I have a group online, like Spiritual Vixens, where it's like, you know, a group of women who are invested in having humor with their spirituality. It's very Course in Miracles friendly. You know, Course in Miracles tells us don't forget to laugh. And this fall, I'm publishing the first of a series of books. And the first book is called Giant Love Song. And it's a memoir about my father, who had a huge impact on my life. And I'll be touring with that with a one-woman show starting in January, kicking it off in St. Louis, and then the next month in San Francisco. And from there, it's going to go on. I'll probably do a weekend a month because I do, I am leading a spiritual community here and I need to be here. But those are plans that are unfolding for me and that I'm looking forward to, actually. But having too many things on the horizon can keep me from being present. So that's what I'm trying to do, is be present.
Right. And that, you know, that sounds very exciting, and it beautifully encapsulates, you know, your life in a lot of ways. It's about theater. It's about sharing stories and sharing experiences.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
More importantly, it's opening up avenues for people to experiment with ways of sharing their lives and sharing A Course in Miracles.
Yeah.
So, if people want to get in touch with you and pursue, you know, some of these adventures that you're currently formatting, where can you be found on the internet?
Well, my website is MaureenMuldoon@gmail.com. I'm sorry, MaureenMuldoon.com, MaureenMuldoon.com. And then the other sites are VoiceBox speakeasystories.com, speakeasyspiritualcommunity.com. And so those are some places that it can be found. But the main one is MaureenWeldoon.com. It has an events page for all the great events coming up. And again, that's an important thing for me. Creativity, spirituality, and community are three of my favorite words and favorite things to combine. And that I think that when we honor those three things, that Holy Trinity, we have happiness.
Very true. And as far as just kind of a overview of our discussion today here, the core of what you're sharing, the real center of all of this, can you give us just kind of a broad vision of what it is that makes life worth living in your mind and for you, and see if that resonates with the people who are tuning in?
What makes life worth living? Well, we get to decide what's the purpose, in the same way that we got to decide what's the purpose of the solar eclipse. You know, is the purpose a scientific purpose, a romantic purpose, spiritual?
Hello, are you still with me, Maureen? Well, I think we may have glitched. I'll kind of fill in here. I don't know if the glitch is on my end or on Maureen's end, but we were looking
so
at...
So just to complete that statement, I think the purpose is to not take it all too seriously. You know, to have fun. You know, we're here for a short time, and calls will drop, and life will take right and left turns. And we'll, you know, God's throwing us a surprise party, and we don't have to fear it, that we can expect it, that it's for us and not against us. And so that's what I would say. Have fun. Don't get too tricked up or hung up or strung out on the invitations for fear, when it could be an invitation for love.
Absolutely. And, you know, that leads us in that direction of recognizing that we are not victims of mm-hmm. our lives here. In actual fact, we were the ones who elected to come here and to experience mm-hmm. this for whatever reason. And mm-hmm. once we start to look at it from that perspective, all of a sudden we've restored the power to who we are rather than what we imagine ourselves to be while we're in the dream. So, Maureen, it was really wonderful having this time to chat with you. And I'm mm-hmm. looking forward to the next cycle here where we connect. I'll be doing an upcoming radio program on Humanity Healing Network in association with OM Times. And I definitely want to have you join me for a program or two there. It's all about A Course in Miracles.
That sounds great.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and we're going to mm-hmm. hopefully impact a lot of people. And it mm-hmm. is more focused on the idea of education. So it's the Humanity Healings University, where we're trying to get the word out from, you know, from that foundation level of this is mm-hmm. what this means, and this is how it can work.
Wonderful. Well, I just love all the work that you're doing in the world. And I appreciate it, neighbor. And
absolutely.
Always happy to collaborate and cross over in any of our projects. So thanks for having me on today.
Oh, it was absolutely a delight. And, you know, I'm sure that we'll be connecting down the road here for all sorts of exciting adventures or co-adventures. So that being said, I'm going to finish up the program here with just a little bit of an overview about the astrology of today. And
right.
the astrology, it will affect us on the level of, you know, the ego life that we imagine ourselves to be living in. But the greater truth of it is that we were the ones who programmed the movement of the sun and the moon and the stars, and then decided to, you know, use that as an exterior force to believe in. So you have to recognize that astrology is a beautiful paradigm to work with, as long as you realize that you're the one who put the forces into motion that created this magical dance of the sun and the moon and the planets. And this particular day, we have the sun at 28 degrees Leo. So when we had that new moon, it was in conjunction of the sun. So this whole thing happened at the 28th degree of Leo, and that is the fruition, I guess you could say, of the summer event or events. It is preparing us now as we move into this period of the shortening of the days and the harvest that is on the horizon. Mercury was retrograde during this entire journey, so that influence of this eclipse as well as this new moon is to make communication more inward directed, and we have to become more mindful over not only this next month but over this next year of what it is that we are entertaining in our mind, because the mind is the powerhouse. It is the thing that projects our reality out here to us. And so it was a dynamic new moon filled with lots of energy. Take it and use it to your advantage. Enjoy life and get out there and share the love and pass the love around.
Amen. God bless. Bye.
Thanks, Maureen. Bye.
Bye.